Good morning. Let's just start by praying. Father, we thank you for that amazing truth that we stand in the, or sit in the presence of you, the living God. Lord, we are amazed that you love us and that you are working for good and that you're here today. Lord, please help us to hear you speak and be transformed. Amen. So we're at Candlemas, and that is the end, as Alan has said, of Christmas. It may seem quite a long time since we celebrated Christmas, but that's where we are in the church calendar, and the beginning of the Easter season. And I want to take the opportunity to stand back from the detail of passages and look at some of the big picture, and in this case, the big picture about the Christian year and three key festivals: Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. And in particular, how they respond to some core questions that we may well have. Where are you, God? Where are you, God? God, do you care about us? And how can we live this life well? So let's start with Christmas. And I think that responds particularly to where are you, God? And the answer is God with us. I don't find it easy following an invisible God, particularly when we're surrounded in our culture by lots of messages about things which are very physical, that life is in things, possessions, that it is in achievements, whether that's in work or in life, that you've done stuff, or in relationships, very physical things, and we worship an invisible God. And even when I can get my head round, we worship an invisible God, I sometimes wonder whether God seems to be for part of life, for the sorted bits, the presentable bits, the churchy bits. I want us to think about what kind of footwear Jesus might wear. So we've got three different types. Sandals. I think they're rather snazzy. Blue smart shoes. And a welly. And perhaps starting with the younger people, anybody who considers them youthful, what do you think Jesus would wear? Which one of those do you think? What do you reckon? The sandals. And why do you think that? Yeah. So at the time, sandals would have been a good thing to wear, and it was pretty hot where he was, yeah? Any other thoughts? Seth? Very expensive. That's interesting. And why would you say that? Sorry? Yeah. So potentially wearing shoes, and they would have been expensive at the time. And perhaps that shows something of his honor as being God. Anybody else? Yeah. So easier to walk around in the sandals. I think this is one of these kind of slightly trick questions where any answer is correct. So yeah, I think there's a case for saying these are possibly the nearest thing to what he would have actually worn because of the heat and because of the practicality at that time. I think there's a case for saying God is with us in offices and businesses and when we're at work, in every part of life, so you can make a case for this and for honouring him because of who he is. Interestingly enough, none of you chose the wellies. And I particularly like the idea of God in wellies. So when we think back to Christmas and we think of the nativity scene that we see on cards, it's a beautiful and rather sanitized version of reality. If we think about what was really going on, you've got animals there. So you've got donkeys and goats, probably. And so it would have been quite mucky and quite smelly. And the thing that I love was God wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a stable amongst the muck. God got his wellies on so that he could come and be with us in the midst of real life, in the midst of the challenges, and in the midst of the bits that we find difficult. Matthew 1, verse 23 says, Emmanuel, God with us. So I think that's a core message of Christmas. God with us. God is wellies on, and he's with us in life. So secondly, what's Easter all about? I don't know about you, but I'm okay to think that God cares about me when things are going well and when I feel like I'm doing an okay job of being a Christian or an okay person. But what about the parts when we feel we've blown it, where it's all going wrong, when we're feeling afraid? How does God react to us at those times? And this is where I find it helpful to think about a bullet, something you may not immediately associate with Easter. Our boys enjoy going down to see my sister, and one of the things that they do when they do that is they go out with my brother-in-law, Matthew, and they shoot at targets in their garden. This is where this bullet comes from. And the bullet reminds me that, well, let's use a story to illustrate what's going on. I deserved death because of my wicked behavior. But when I closed my eyes and heard fire, I felt no impact. The bullet never touched me. Instead, laying at my feet was a man, an innocent man, who must have jumped between the gun and me when I wasn't looking. One bullet, one man, now dead, dead instead of me. I looked up at the executioner, confused, but then he said the most unbelievable thing to me. Only three words, words that changed my life forever. With gun mounted on his shoulder, he looked at me and said, "You are free." Jesus took the bullet for me, for you. As Adrian Plass puts it, may we not be afraid to seek God's help at the most dismal, despairing times, those times when religion means nothing and we just need a friend. So we've seen that Christmas is all about God with us, that Easter is all about God for us, however worthy or unworthy we may feel. And the third great festival is Pentecost. And that responds to the question, how can we live life well? And I think the answer of Pentecost is God in us. So I'm not going to say very much about this because we're in the middle of a series on the Holy Spirit, but just a few points. I think it's difficult to live against the culture. The culture that we live in is quite anti-faith and anti-Christian at the moment. And it reminds me of when I lived in Cambodia and we were needing to get through some flood water, which was up to about here. It was really hard. And if we hadn't linked arms, we'd probably have been swept away. And that can feel like our culture trying to sweep us away from belief in God. So we need the strength to live counterculturally. We need the ability to love when we know that we're frail, to be humble when that's not easy. We need God. And that's what the third great festival, Pentecost, helps us with. So Jesus says to the disciples who are scared and he's just died, they're wondering what on earth are they going to do. He's warned them in advance. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to the ends of the earth. We need the Holy Spirit. They needed the Holy Spirit. And this for me is like the lamp. We're called to be the light in the world. We're called to live very different lives. We're called to live lives of love. And we can feel massively inadequate, and we are. But until we plug ourselves in to the power of God. We. It's not very strong here. It's an eco bulb. I'm sure God uses eco bulbs. So we need that power, don't we? We need God. And I guess that's what these other sermon series is going to help us with. What does that look like? How can we connect with God himself? So to summarize, we've seen that the three great festivals of the Christian year hold three core truths. Christmas is God with us. God has got his wellies on, and he's with us in the muck and the mess of the reality of life. Easter says God is for us. He took a bullet for us. He stood in the way of what we deserved so that we might live. He's totally committed to us. And Pentecost says God is in us. We need God's Holy Spirit to live the Christian life like a lamp needs electricity in order to shine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are with us. We're not alone wandering around in this world. We thank you that you are for us. Whether or not we feel worthy, you are totally committed to us. And we thank you that you are in us by the power of your Holy Spirit to enable us to live lives that are different, that are only possible because of you in us. Lord, may you help us to receive your truths and be changed by them, that we might honor your name and shine like lights in this world. Amen.